The Padres have lost as Wilson is one strike away from ending this one. He sets. He throws. Swing and a miss. He struck it out. The Giants have won it. Just seconds after the Padres lost to the Cubs. And the Giants have a two-game lead in the National League West with five to play.
All right, we're back here at the Public House. Nice early evening for baseball. And you can hear it. You can hear it. And it's amazing. He's here. He's still got it. He still has it. Isn't it amazing? Just to see Brian Wilson. Yeah, got the biggest out, I think, in the franchise, almost in the franchise history. Forget about New York, but certainly in San Francisco franchise history. The last out of 2010. Nice to see you. How you doing?
Thanks for having me, guys. It feels really good.
God. Well, back here for the Wall of Fame today, what was this ceremony like? What did it mean to you?
It meant everything. It meant that, you know, I've got a home. I've got a home to come back to. I can come to the games, maybe come to spring training, help out some of the guys. Maybe not help out some of the guys, depending on the advice I give. It was really good to just see the city embrace some of the past players, and we could all enjoy it for ourselves.
Is that what it feels like, is home? Because you and I were just kind of talking about, you get off the plane in the airport, and you feel like you don't have the beard anymore, like nobody's going to notice you. But the second you walk out here, it's like people are gravitating towards
you.
Yeah,
I shaved that thing, got rid of it. I buried it under the mound a couple years ago, so that'll be a nice surprise in my time capsule. That's a testament to these fans. They know you. Like, you're not going to be able to change something about you, and they're not going to know who you are. Yeah. They're real fans.
How did the beard come about? How did all that come about?
It was like a two-week-long road trip, and I didn't bring a razor. And I thought, this was kind of nice. Cleaned up the neck a little bit when I got back home and thought, I'm going to let this ride. We'll see what happens. Well, you saw what happened. It had its own personality. Like, to be honest, didn't really want to have it, but I thought, well, I'm putting this much time and effort into growing it, which doesn't take effort at all. You just be a human, and it grows on its own, which is nice. And I wanted to see how long I could get it. It became kind of like an addiction.
But it was a force on the mound. Yeah. I mean, you know, it was like having another pitch in a way.
Yeah, it was like Halloween every night. So when we had, I think it was, what was it, Game 4 of the World Series? It was October 31st. If people ask, you know, what'd you go as? I went as Brian Wilson, this pitcher for the Giants. It was a pretty fun uniform, very active.
2010. Adam, jump in whenever
you will.
You know, but 2010, as I described, maybe the biggest out in San Francisco franchise history. What was your feeling on the hill, and you had Nelson Cruz up there, and you knew what was coming if you executed the pitch?
Well, once Nelson Cruz was up, like, all the jitters had gone away. That's not because he was an easy out at all. It's because, holy crap, this is happening. But before that, normally you get the phone call couple innings before, you know, yeah, he got the ninth, but there was no phone call. So I thought, oh, Tim's going to throw a complete game.
Yeah.
This is his. Okay. I was thinking, dang it, that would have been awesome if I got out there. But also, man, I don't think I really would have want to have been out there and did cruddy. Then they called. And now I'm like mini panic, because in the bullpen there, you have to face the crowd. And they're all throwing crap at me and saying things. And I'm kind of giggling in my head thinking, man, I'm really nervous right now. But also, we're about to win the World Series, so there's nothing you can do that's going to distract me. Now, being on the mound, I think that was my first 1-2-3 inning all season. Boach didn't really know what to do because it went by so fast. So I thought, might as well bring this last hitter to full count at least to give the crowd what they want. And, you know, I usually pitch long innings. And then when I threw that pitch by, man, I just had such a euphoric nirvana feeling, thinking the crowd at home, the city of San Francisco at home, must be going bananas. Yeah. And that's what I wanted to be a part of. I just wanted to be part of the city in its first World Series. I mean, that was a hell of a year. We had the orange and black, the song, the rally towels. I mean, just... And the weather, come on. San Francisco is born for October weather.
Yeah.
We don't start playing baseball until October. Everyone else plays in spring.
And that was kind of the run of that year, right? You had to win, what, one of those final three in that weekend against San Diego.
Yeah.
Came down to Sanchez on that Sunday. You closed out that ball game. But you were a part of the team the couple years before that. You had to come up and kind of take that closer's role. Did winning the championship mean more because you got to be part of building that foundation?
I don't think it meant more to me on a personal note other than just the simple fact that I envisioned that since I was a kid.
Yeah.
But it felt so much more because it was such a city effort. I know there's a lot of cities out there that had a drought and they didn't win a World Series, but and they had their own story. But this was every single soul in this city was behind us, cheering. It was like opening day every pitch. It was so intense but so amazing. And that's the reason why we won. It was like, it's now or never. We're going to do this, and we're going to do this as a family.
You know, it's funny when I think back to 2010, and of course, August was a tough month.
Oh.
You know, tough month, and it took the Padres to go on a big losing streak to get you guys back into it. So what made that team so special? Because August is coming up here with this team, and they're behind the eight ball. They've got to start winning some games, and of course, there's plenty of time to go. But what made your team so special that you could weather August and get into September?
One-run ball games.
Okay.
One-run ball games will do that for you. When you get a starter that's going to go out there, and let's keep in mind, I don't think too many teams have done this, but the starters through 26 games straight of quality starts, that's impressive.
Yeah.
You don't just do that as a team. So if you got a guy that's going to go out there who's well-prepared and he's going to throw you five or six innings, and then you give it to the bullpen, and you don't say, hey, you've got the eighth, you've got the seventh. You've got this moment. And if you can't get it done, that's fine. The guy behind you is going to pick you up, and that's exactly what we did. And I think the greatest mistake, I don't even know if it was a mistake in building this ballpark, was leaving out the bullpen because we got to be down with our team. So every run we scored, the pitchers were in there shaking high fives, clapping, and in other teams it's segregated. So your second baseman's not going to care what your setup guy does. Or your left fielder and your starting pitcher, they're not friends. But on this squad, we were an absolute family. We knew everything about each other. We knew each other's family. We knew each other's friends. We knew each other's flaws. And we knew how to pick each other up. And that's why when August came, we got this. We just go out and do you. And then I'll do me and we do us together. And bam, we got wins.
Obviously, today a nostalgic day because of going up on the wall, but do you think about this stuff often? Is this something at the forefront of your mind?
Being celebrated?
I mean, being a champion, playing in the World Series, does it happen frequently? Do you follow the game a lot? Are you constantly thinking about this stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I could tell you right now, I'll put on the uni. I'll go out there and pitch.
All right. What do you got? What was your high
about
velocity?
That, yeah.
Come on, they'd love to.
I can play middle infield too, guys. I get quick hands. Probably bat towards the end of the lineup. I don't know.
Well, what was your velocity? Now that we're in an age of velocity and all that going on.
Oh, God. I mean, back when I was coming up, Kaner was throwing 98 at the age of 19, 20. I got up there a little bit, and now it seems like there's 100 kids in the minor leagues that are throwing 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And that's just a testament to great coaching and I think a lot of video. And I don't know what's in the water, but we didn't have that.
Boy, the orange cleats. How about that? The orange cleats. So tell us the story of the orange cleats.
Well, at the All-Star game, Nike gave your team color. Gave you some cleats with your team color on it. So ours was orange, which is it's a loud color, but it's like, hey, I'm also in the room. I'm orange. What's up? That's our color. But little did I know that our actual team color is black. So you have to have your cleats at least 51% of your team color. So the Oakland A's team color is white. They can have white cleats. I think Toronto Blue Jays is blue. The Reds are the Reds. So I just thought nothing of it. I'm like, oh, I got some new cleats. I'm going to wear them. Well, the head coach of the other team starts complaining. I'm like, are you kidding me? You're complaining about my flipping cleats? Come on, guy. And not to mention, my third baseman, Pablo Sandoval, was wearing the same cleats. Check the tape. He didn't get a fine. So I said, you know what? Fine, I'll make him 51%. Somebody give me a Sharpie. And I Sharpied 51% of that into black. And I still have those cleats. And I got them on display. And I look at them, I get a chuckle every time, thinking, I got you. I got you.
I love it.
I like that.
Very good. Yeah. Boy, what are you doing these days? What's up with you?
Well, let's see. Joined a co-ed softball team. We're 0-10.
Nice.
Went from left field to starting shortstop.
Nice.
It's going to be fun. Doing a lot of birding on the scooters. I mean, let's not forget, I had a scooter before it was cool, guys. Come on. Okay. Like, where were you 10 years ago?
Yeah.
I had a scooter.
Now it's big.
It was gas-powered. It was loud. You could hear me where I was. And now it's a thing, so doing a lot of that. I'm developing homes.
Are you really?
So I'm getting into the whole design aspect, which is extremely fun. It's a different kind of anxiety, but I don't drink it. It's a different kind of anxiety, but I love it because it keeps you on your toes, and it's something you can be passionate about.
Wonderful. You know, it's just to have you here, I know what a boost it is for everybody just to relive the kind of player you were. But you didn't make a 1-2. You didn't have a 1-2-3 inning. But you never gave in. When you got in trouble, if you had to go in that outside corner three times, you went on it three times. That's who you were. An amazing way to pitch for a closer.
Yeah, well, I had the great privilege of Nen coming down in spring training, and I think I threw like 24 strikes one inning, got shelled by the Chicago White Sox, spring training game, and I come in the dugout, and I go in the locker room, and Nen came up to me, and he sat me down, and he said, you know, you don't have to throw strikes all the time. Sometimes you need to throw balls on purpose, get them swinging. But it's not about just throwing strikes because that's not going to get the job done. And that kind of sat with me. And then fast forward to a couple years later, I'm on the mound. We're playing San Diego. Well, actually, before that, I was playing the MLB The Show game.
Great game.
And we're playing San Diego that night, but also in my video game. And I had just the most unlucky inning ever, and I blew it, and I just trashed the game. So I'm never playing this game again. Well, that night, I swear on everything, the same exact elements happened. And I'm just thinking to myself, come on, I'm never playing the show again. But I had a 3-0 count, first and second, Brian Giles up. I'm like, I'll just got to throw a strike. And he tomahawk hacks it into the bay. I just watched my soul collapse into my stomach. And I just wanted to throw up immediately. And Bochy calls me into his office and said, hey, you don't have to throw a strike there. I'm thinking, what? My head manager's telling me I don't have to throw a strike right there? And it, again, sank in my head, like, okay, I'm not giving in. I don't care if I throw 55 pitches. And I never cared about saves. I cared about preserving a win. And that's a lost art. People care about the save. But if you start caring about your own individual crap, your team might not do well. So you focus on the team aspect. I swear your individual stats will start progressing.
Well, I love it. It was a great way to watch you, and it was nerve-wracking for everyone who watched it.
Torture?
But did you feel in control? And then even listening to this story, it sounds like you felt like you were in control of the mound, even though you were driving everybody nuts.
Like, well, it's your element.
Well,
almost,
it's an interesting thing, because when you first start doing it, you're swayed by the adrenaline. And then you learn how to maneuver. Adrenaline isn't a negative. It's just warning your body that you're entering this zone of heightened awareness, so you can use that to your advantage. So after a while, you start becoming an artist at it. You're still panicking. Your body's still going through, like, heartbeats 170, you're sweating. But you're going into a different zone where you can pencil in where you want to throw it. And if your thought process is, I can, then you will. If your thought process is, I can't, you also will. So I just, as hard as it is, even fake it. Just say, I'm going to dominate right now. I'm going to get my pitch. I'm going to do it. Even if you don't mean it, after a while you will.
When do you feel like you could control that? That was the element, you could become the artist of the adrenaline, which I think is a great word to use.
Well, it's a choice. You can either do it or you can pack your bags, because some other kid is going to at least try. And I'm not giving you that opportunity. And I worked my whole life for it. So this is the time where you step up.
Boy, you know, it's amazing listening to you. I'm saying to myself, you obviously talk to other closers once in a while. Do other people talk like you? Do they have this understanding of the game and the cerebral part of the game?
I mean, I feel like I've talked to a lot of closers, and they're just like, no, I'm always thinking about how dominant I'm going to be. And I'm like, guys, if you don't think at least five ways how you're going to blow the game, then you're not a human being. Like, you're a robot. Like, nobody is the most perfect positive thinker out there, you think about all the ways that you're not going to do well so you can get that out of the way.
Okay.
Like, I was just negative for the first seven innings. It's time to flip the script. I need to be positive. But it's again, it's a choice. Do you want to win the game or do you not want to win the game? Would you like to play baseball and, or would you like to pack your bags and go home?
Well... Wow, 2010, amazing season for you, and I'll let you go. I know you got a lot of things to do tonight, but being out there at the Wall of Fame, Kane being there, your coaches, Dave Righetti, how about Dave Righetti being there? Talk about those guys a little bit, what they mean to you.
I mean, it feels like I didn't miss a beat. It feels like
Isn't it funny how you could come back
like
that?
Yeah, I just came back from a long road trip.
Yeah.
Seeing Righetti out there, it was amazing because that's one guy that totally had my back coming up.
Yeah.
He knew. He knew that I was going to be the closer of the future, and he treated me that way. And it was great because we came from the post-Bonds era where a lot of the young guys were starting to get called up. I mean, I think we had 15 or 16 rookies make their debut. That's never happened in baseball. I mean, that died off. It was a veterans game in 2005, 2006. So, you know, just
focus because that's hilarious. I don't know.
You're getting heckled already.
Says I'm pretty.
I know.
Thank you.
All right.
That's unbelievable.
I'm looking at him. What's going on?
Getting heckled already. I love it.
Yeah, I know. This is getting driving on the hill anymore.
All right, I'm going to bring you back to concentration for a second. Tim Lincecum, what did you think when you first saw him?
The kid has one of the greatest arms I've ever seen. Stuff-wise, it was unhittable. I mean, he's the only guy ever to win two Cy Youngs before arbitration. I don't think that's going to be done ever again. I mean, every time he came out, even on our 07 team, we were just losing every four games in a row. He'd come out, win the fifth game, and kept doing it. And he won a Cy Young on a team that barely was .500.
Yeah.
Great teammate,
stuff.
Too.
Yeah.
And an athlete. He'd be in full uniform just doing backflips.
He's another
15 minutes before the game.
Like you, he can walk in any minute and be back.
He's never left.
He had the it. You have the it.
Thank you.
You got it. Boy, great to have you here.
Thank you so much.
We'll let you go back to the fans and chat with them a little bit.
Yeah.
I know they're anxious to see you.
Well,
Brian,
what does it look like behind me?
You got one guy behind.
He's bigger than you are, yeah. Gives me
all right.
It's all right. Appreciate it.
Boy, there's Rob Georgie, sailor. Rob Georgie, very nice. Brian, thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
All right, that's Brian Wilson. Mario, thank you. More coming up on the Sports Leader.
Cruz waiting on Wilson. And the right-hander for the Giants throws. Swing and a miss! And that's it! The Giants, for the first time in 52 years, the Giants are world champions as they come pouring out of the dugout.